Back with you, Connecticut Today for Tuesday, March 2nd. Dave Cochran joined us. He's a working emergency medical technician, an EMT. He's written a book about what it's like to have been an EMT since the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic. We'll welcome our next guest, a Philadelphia native, a grad of the University of South Carolina. He's currently working as an EMT, an emergency medical technician in Philadelphia, recently returning from 2 5-week FEMA deployments to New York City and South Texas. What is it like to be an EMT in the time of COVID-19? Name of the book is Behind the Mask, Untold Stories of EMS in a Pandemic. David S. Cochran is the guest. Dave, it's Paul here at WICC. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? Thank you for having me on the show.
I'm great. Thanks for hanging out with us. I appreciate it. What steered you initially, before we get to your experience during the pandemic, Dave, steered you toward becoming an EMT?
Well, simply put, all through my life, I always felt like I needed to be there for someone, whether it's to play as like a therapist or to listen to problems or help them if they've fallen off their bike. I always wanted to be that person that was there for someone in a low moment to help them rise again. And so, I felt, and I just feel like a first responder, especially in EMS, as an EMT or medic, is a perfect way to be there for someone when they are facing their lowest moments through illness or trauma.
Dave, what was your first thought or the first thoughts of the men and women you work with when you heard about this pandemic a year and change ago? Any first thoughts? Was there any sort of an uh-oh moment on this, or did it not dawn on you folks of how serious this might eventually get?
Yeah, so just as the whole world, we didn't really know what to expect when this first started. There were no initial thoughts because there was no playbook on how to experience or how to handle this or how to feel about this. So we kind of went into a lot of this blind. And that's why it was a big learning curve almost as far as getting through the early stages of this whole, obviously what has now become a year long event.
Mm-hmm. So were you at all given a crash course in how to deal with something like this? I mean, obviously you folks deal in fires and car accidents and shootings and heart attacks and all that, but was this kind of a new experience for a lot of the guys and gals who do what you do?
Unfortunately, yes, it was. Like, as you said, we deal with the regular day-to-day shootings and stabbings and cardiac arrests and whatnot, but this was a whole new ball game. We were seeing, especially in New York City, we are seeing record high cardiac arrests. Some days we reached almost 300 cardiac arrests a day throughout the city, with over 70% of them tragically passing away. We were dealing with record high suicides in all its forms. So I just added another layer on top of the day-to-day stuff that we were dealing with. And then on top of that, instead of being able to go home with loved ones or to kind of talk about what we've been experiencing, some were sleeping in cars for weeks on end or renting motels or sleeping in people's basements because they are too afraid to pass on anything that they may have contracted during their time on the streets.
I want to touch on that a little more. Dave, hang on. We'll be right back with you. Name of the book, Untold Stories of EMS in a Pandemic. The website, davidscochran.com, C-O-C-H-R-A-N. Dave, back with you momentarily. First, traffic and weather together, 3:36 on WICC. And undoubtedly, the EMS, EMT crews in Stratford, all throughout Fairfield County and Connecticut, experiencing perhaps being pushed to the edge here. In the ongoing still pandemic, things are better. We're not out of it. New book, Untold Stories of EMS in a Pandemic. David S. Cochran is the guest. Dave, before we took the break, you talked about some folks that do what you do not being able literally to go home to their loved ones for weeks at a time during this whole thing, sleeping in vehicles. Talk a little more about that. Why was that, and what was that experience like for the people you know who did that?
Yeah, so obviously we're starting to get a little bit of a better grasp on what we're dealing with. But throughout this past year, especially in the earlier stages, you know, it seemed like every day there was a new symptom or a new effect that the virus was having on people. So we never really knew what we were going in to deal with. So we were kind of going in blind to a lot of calls. And the fear kind of rose that we obviously can't quit on our jobs. We need to be there for the town, you know, for the communities that need us when they're facing these low moments. But at the same time, we did not want to put our loved ones in any harm's way that could have come of it. So as you said, a lot of people were forced to sleep in cars and hotels and avoid their family for weeks, months on end because they were too afraid of not knowing what exactly they were going to give to their loved ones.
I can't imagine, Dave, the amount of, as you say, the fear, the everyday fear. It's bad enough in regular non-pandemic times of what you guys and gals who are EMTs, who work EMS all across the country, you know, here in Connecticut and other spots. But then add this layer that you might be going into a home, to a business, to a situation that could get you infected. Were there ever times, Dave, in the middle of that where you said, this is too much, I can't do this, how can we go on for much longer?
Yeah, I mean, all through my FEMA deployments and on a day-to-day basis, stations across the nation were facing mass shortages, not only in equipment, but in personnel, because the virus is kind of sweeping through each nation, each station. So people were forced to work overtimes every single week. I knew people that, like myself, are working 12, 16, even 24 hours every day, every week for weeks on end just to keep up with the call volume. And I know people that unfortunately were, I think some I heard were working nearly 70, 80 hours a week just to keep up with everything so the community still had a service to turn to.
Now, you talked about your FEMA deployments. Of course, FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, to New York City into South Texas. How did you end up coming under FEMA? Talk about a little, David, that structure and why you were deployed by FEMA.
Yes. So, I'm an EMT, so you get your training, your certificate to become an emergency medical technician or a medic. And the company I work for is actually contracted with FEMA. So whenever there is a natural disaster, such as a hurricane, a tornado, forest fire, or a pandemic, FEMA kind of activates the bell or rings the bell for the National Emergency Response Team to get deployed to these destroyed areas. So typically with a storm, if there's an incoming storm 3 days out, they'll gather up like, hey, we need 500 personnel and 200 ambulance at this exact area. And we all head down there to give any relief that they need. But for the pandemic, there has really been no specific guidelines on where to go because it's widespread. So we've had people sent to New York City, South Texas, California, Minnesota, Virginia, all over the map with personnel from all across the nation just to keep up with these communities that are facing record high calls and record low staff members.
So not only are you dealing with the everyday things, Dave, you've got to deal with, but you end up sometimes, if I'm understanding correctly, in areas and cities that are foreign to you where you don't really know the tendencies of the cities, the neighborhoods, the particulars of certain neighborhoods, what areas, frankly, are safe or not as safe as the others. And I can imagine, for lack of a better term, it's almost like being some sort of a mercenary here where you're dropped in a zone to do a job, but you might not have that underlying comfort that you have working in a city or town or a state that you know pretty well.
Certainly, and that's kind of a big adjustment that a lot of members of the National Emergency Response Team have to make, is that when we're sent to these cities, a lot of the times we don't have a station to post up at in between calls. We're usually sitting on these cross streets in people's neighborhoods and front streets waiting for our next call. So we're surrounded by areas that we're unfamiliar with, and we're driving. I know in South Texas, we drove in 4 hours in between San Antonio, Dallas, and then another 5 hours down to the southern regions of the state every other day, just going to where we were needed. So as you said, there was a lack of comfort that came with a lot of the, not just only the calls we were dealing with, but our surroundings as well.
The subtitle of your book, Behind the Mask, is Untold Stories of EMS in a Pandemic. I know in the book you do recount some stuff. You change names for privacy. But, Dave, one or two anecdotes or stories that you may want to relate to the audience here to kind of illustrate some of the things you talk about in the book?
Yes. So the book altogether provides my personal journey through the pandemic, but it shows the unfiltered horrific situations that we've been facing throughout this past year to kind of gain a deeper appreciation for the struggles and the sacrifices that EMS has been making just to keep up with this year-long event. And in one of the chapters, it discusses my first night in New York City. We faced a massive apartment complex fire that took several lives before we even arrived, and there was multiple injured, and almost that sense of feeling like you're on a movie set, just horrific. And that kind of shows that there was a day-to-day stuff on top of having to deal with 7 coronavirus cases earlier that day with no equipment besides a surgical mask, because we were running low on equipment throughout the first week or so of being there. So it just amplifies, it shows the stories on both the day-to-day and the virus and the effects that we've been dealing with, and the emotional and physical toll it's had on us.
What was worse, David, the stress or the fear, or both? Or do you have to turn it off to do your job properly?
Unfortunately, you had to turn it off, and I kind of discussed in this book, we have to develop this like cold sense of humor to continue forward. You know, as I said earlier, we were facing record high cardiac arrest and suicide. So we were seeing an unimaginable amount of death every day. So you had this stress of going to these severe calls and this fear of, you know, contracting whatever they may have had that caused them to be in that situation. But unfortunately, you had to turn a blind eye to it and make light of it just to stay focused for the people who need you.
How do you de-stress? How did you de-stress in these times? Was it just those few hours, David, that you had off? Was it sleep? Was it just relaxing with a meal? Was it even possible? How did you de-stress?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I worked 16 hours every day for 40 days straight. So any second I had off was just purely dedicated to sleeping. But during the shifts, you know, we had to lean heavily on each other because, as I said, we couldn't really see our families, and we kind of chose to not share what we were experiencing with our families in order to not stress them out for what we've been dealing with. So we kind of had to swallow that burden on ourselves and lean on each other to really get through the days that seemed almost never ending.
Dave, thank you for writing this. We appreciate it, and thank you and all the men and women who do what you do anywhere in the country. Folks, pick it up. The name of the book is Behind the Mask, Untold Stories of EMS in a Pandemic. David S. Cochran is the author, and you can go to his website, David S. Cochran, David S. as in Sam, CochRan.com. David, thank you. Continued good luck, and hopefully we can speak in the future. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thank you, and thanks again for having me.
No problem. Thank you, David.